our knobs out for you with a bait that's tasty to chew. So sit back, enjoy, and have fun, 'cause three knobs are better than one. Skibbity dibbity bobbity doo.
Welcome, everybody, to Series 4, Episode 4. It's the 4x4 series of Knobcast. Back here in a flash, as normal. Less than a week following the last recording. And can't believe it. Two episodes in 6 days.
Wow.
It's a fucking treat.
Do you want to introduce who's in the studio
I could do that. All right. We're here on a Friday night?
Friday.
I thought it was Saturday. And it's me, myself, Edward, and regular host, Gregory.
Hello.
And for an unprecedented third straight week, the now professional Miss Barbara.
Hello.
Welcome.
This is getting to be a little out of control. Are you going to demand your rights now and say you want to be the third official knob?
Yes.
Seriously?
Yes. One more appearance and that's what it's going to have to come down to.
We have to be official.
I think the main reason that you're continuing to come back is that you're the only one who really is showing any interest. The other potential guest host could care less.
Or maybe
can't
they,
be arsed.
Yes.
Well, they could just have very fulfilling lives. Busy with important plans where I don't.
Well, that's to our and our listeners' benefit.
Yeah. But you think, though, it's like, you know, which way would you rather have it? Do what you want on a whim? Or be beholden to a predetermined schedule months in advance?
True.
So you're saying...
I like the whim bit.
People with
I am
full
whimsical.
Rich lives.
It can sometimes be annoying.
Because you literally your schedule is literally filled up for the next 3 months.
And a lot of the time, yes. And a lot of the times, it's predetermined by people other than yourself.
Go on. Well, I know you have similar issues because sometimes you'll complain that you're booked up for the next 2 months and you just want one solitary Saturday night to yourself.
Right. Usually a full weekend.
All right.
Yeah. So you have three things in a row, then one weekend off, and then two more events of some nature booked up after that. And you just look at the calendar and you're like, shit, man. The next 6 or 7 weeks, I got no weekends to do what I want to do. I mean, you want to do those things because it's usually parties or whatever and things like that. So it's not dreadful, but you do sometimes, or at least I do. I feel like sometimes, you feel like your life's out of control or out of your own, not out of control, but out of your own hands. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you want to sprinkle in the blank weekend every once in a while so you can do nothing. Like wake up on a Saturday, never get dressed, never shower, watch a movie, get shit done around the house, that kind of thing. And not worry about watching the clock saying, oh, I've got to take a shower at 4 because we're, going to be at, Hans and Bunny's at 6 for dinner. Yeah.
They do make a good dinner.
They do. It's worth it.
Hans and Bunny.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah.
Is that a restaurant?
No,
or
no. Actually,
friends?
I just popped up
two
with
made
that.
Up people.
No, they're not made up. They're people used to hang out with in the 80s, and their names just came to me.
Ah.
I haven't thought about them for years.
And here they are.
German couple?
No, Hans. Yeah. Hans is a German-American, and Bunny's real name was Jean Loftus.
Whoa.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know how she got the nickname Bunny.
I do.
But... I used to call them buns and honey.
Nice.
I thought I was so clever.
That is clever. That is clever. I'm sure they like that.
It was the 80s.
Yes. Yeah. The cheesy decade.
Right. How about honey buns?
But I'm just saying, like, you know, it's nice not to have to even look at the clock. Not have to be anywhere, not have to do anything.
Agreed.
And if the weather's stinky, all the better.
I like that so much that I've dedicated my whole life to making that the case. So my schedule for 2 months out is weekend after weekend of not looking at the clock, not showering.
Jesus.
Sprinkled with a few parties here and there.
Mrs. Brown, you've got a lovely daughter.
What?
What is that? Why is that even appropriate?
Herman's Hermit. Oh, I get
Herman's it. Hermits. There you go.
Oh,
I get it. Yep.
That's pretty clever.
That's cerebral. All you listeners out there that think you're just like listening through this and just being like, what absolute rubbish. Makes you think. Who of you out there
makes
figured
you
that
think
one out?
Thoughts.
Makes you think thoughts. Absolutely.
Or they just think you're an old fuck who can remember Herman's Hermits.
Well, yes, that could be true too. But I don't think I was alive when that song came out. So
when did it come out?
I don't know.
60s,
yeah,
I think.
Mid-60s, late 60s.
And I think Henry VIII was their big hit first, right? And
probably.
Yeah. Mm. Yep. Mm. Second verse. Mm. Same as the first.
Oh, really?
That song was awesome, yeah.
Huh. Interesting. Was that adopted by another song, like something to do with Rocky Horror Picture Show?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
That sounds familiar.
I'm Henry the Eighth, I am.
Yeah, yeah, I know that.
Yeah.
But like
second verse, same as the first. I'm Henry the Eighth, I am.
Yeah.
Just keeps going.
No, but there's another song. It's Oh, you know what? It might be the Refreshments. It might be a Refreshments song.
Don't Tell a Soul. No, that's
the
Replacement.
Same as the first. Yeah.
I tell you what.
I know someone out there.
Do some research.
It. Yep.
Oh, you're thinking of March to the Sea?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet.
Verse. Do you notice that Todd made a rather lengthy March made a rather lengthy comment.
Well, he's commented on the Facebook page, so I think the gig's up.
Right.
But anyway.
Right. But yeah, he actually made that huge comment on the actual website.
Yeah, two weeks in a row. Usually two episodes in a row. He usually does.
Shouldn't we?
I was going to comment on that, but go
ahead. Yeah, I mean, shouldn't we make some acknowledgement of the fact that through thick and thin over the past 4 years,
yep,
he's been there, commented.
Yeah, I think
made an effort.
Absolutely. Kudos.
And we've been nothing if not rude and ignoring him.
Well, mostly you and Andy.
Well,
but.
Right.
But yeah, no, he's been a good fan, and we appreciate it. And he does put thought into his comments, and like he said today, as usual, in order. And he gave right. a good, you know, he goes in order, and he points or counterpoints on some of the stuff we discuss, which I think is a great thing because, you know,
no one else is doing it.
Well, no one else is doing it. But then if you read it, you can be like, oh yeah, but you know what? I disagree with Todd. I'm going to make a comment myself.
Well, maybe we should point out, too, that it's not just Todd. I mean, little KP also makes comments.
Absolutely.
Here and
there. He gave me a great list of horror movies that I requested last week that
yep.
I'm dying to check out. The Haunting of Connecticut or something, I think is my first one I'm going to check out. That was on streaming. I found last night. So at some point this weekend, I hope to watch that. So thank you, KP. And Barbara's got a little bit of a fan.
I think KP might be sweet on her.
Maybe.
Well, I just think he appreciates that someone's in here interjecting, so it's yeah. just not the two of you.
Excellent point. Excellent point.
I still think he might be a little sweet, though.
Well,
I'm sweet.
Yeah, you get the, you know, it's a little bit of a, it takes a little bit of the edge off. You get that sweet female voice, that kind of you know,
how you doing?
Softens out. The,
how you
hey
doing?
Now, hey now, softens off the edges of us
of
two
our rough tones,
our gruff, rough and tumble voices. Us,
and Bubba is down at the
men.
Bowling alley.
The bowling alley.
Saw a guy who's drinking a beer.
Right.
That's Oy. Awful.
Yeah,
it is. I'm so far away from that person.
What person? That made up person?
That made up person who hangs out at the bowling alley and talks that way.
Oh, right. Okay.
I was at the library yesterday. I read a fantastic book. It was lovely. That's how I am.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, so...
Anyway, what were we talking about?
I'm just wondering...
Our loyal fans, yeah.
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 So we've acknowledged them. Why don't we move on? I was just wondering if you guys have any topics that you might have brought to the table.
Hmm.
Or I should say any good topics.
Yeah, see, that's where it falls down. Because I have some topics from last week.
I do too.
Which actually we never got to because the Halloween theme took over.
Right, and really just did.
It basically ran itself.
We got nothing like that this week.
Yeah.
Well, we could. No, we really don't. No. I was hoping I wouldn't be called back till like Thanksgiving or Christmas. Right? So well, it would be another holiday topic.
And
but
6 days is a bit of a short yeah. window to come up yeah. with new stuff. But there's
I mean,
a few things.
As professionals, I think we have a certain responsibility that if we're going to put on a show,
right,
the show must go on.
Yeah, we should have something to prepared for it.
Well, based on the and this was like completely random based on the Greg being a hermit thing, and I just threw out Herman's Hermits. All but right. one of my topics from last week, which I don't know how well this will go, but well, you know, they usually start on the side discussions, which are good. But I saw one of those infomercials on late night television for like the Time Life CDs, the Time Life music series things, and it was all this 1960s music.
Love that stuff.
Oh my God. Some of it was all right. Like, this wasn't like the 60s rock and roll set. This was like the 60s music that was still sort of a hangover from the earlier styles of music.
Like King of the Road and stuff like that.
Yeah. I think that might have been on it, actually.
I love that song, actually. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. I love it.
But, I mean, some of the music was pretty good, but I can definitely see. As I was watching this, I'm like, yeah, I definitely see how rock and roll got formed because this stuff just ended up, it was so dull and so boring for the most part. Because like they show the footage of the people and it's usually, you know, folksy and someone's just standing up there with a microphone with a small band behind them and it's just like, you know, Johnny was... Well, I don't know.
A guy leaning against a tree in the woods.
Something like that. But do you know what I'm saying? And like, I can see why people were fed up and they were like, I'm done with it. Hmm. We need a little bit more action. We need a little bit more speed up the beat. Do right. something.
We're falling
you know?
Asleep here. We
exactly.
We want to dance, damn it.
Right.
That's, yeah.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Like Tom Jones, Petula Clark. I mean, these people were...
Oh, Downtown's an awesome tune.
Yeah, but like, can you dance to it?
Yes.
Can you?
Yeah.
Greg can.
Yeah, I'm sure. He practices when everyone else is out at parties. Greg.
And he's hermiting in his house.
Right.
Puts on the old Petula, dances in the mirror.
I love Petula Clark,
I like her too. What about Dusty Springfield? She was awesome.
I do like her too. I like her version of Spooky.
Is that what the Eagles did?
No.
Oh.
I think I'm thinking of Stormy.
That's also a song.
Yeah. Hmm. Interesting.
There was this other woman who I had never heard of. Well, do you guys remember Jackie DeShannon? That name?
Nope.
DeShannon sounds familiar, but maybe it's just the Shannon part.
Right. That song. Shannon, I love. You know, but sorry.
She's drifting.
No, but this woman was Jackie DeShannon.
Yeah.
And she was kind of hot. She was like in that 60s way. She had that long, weird gown on, but she had like blondish hair. And I was like, I wonder. She was kind of like the 60s Taylor Swift. Like, I think I would have liked her a little bit.
She was a teenager?
She was young. She was young. Chiming in. Greg's got a message. Sorry, turn the shit off.
He has friends.
And but I found out that like Burt Bacharach wrote a bunch of songs for her, and one of the songs was What the World Needs Now.
Oh, not Dionne Warwick's version.
No, it was Jackie DeShannon. And I'm like, that's an awesome version.
Oh, I've
and that's
never
a
heard
pretty
it.
Good tune. I like Austin Powers' version, but anyway.
But isn't it sort of going against your theory about how crap that music was?
Well, no, because I said some of it was good at the very beginning. I said some of it was good. Most of it was shite, but some of it was good. And I would have liked it, but I think my point was there is some good in it, but I can see why it evolved from that into rock and roll.
Anything by Burt Bacharach and Hal David, top notch, yeah. I think.
But you know, but it, you see, your blanket statement that it was some of it was good, but most of it was shite. I mean, that's just your godly opinion. You know what I mean?
Well, it's not godly. It's my personal opinion.
Well, right. But that's what I'm... But it just seems so blanket and so blatant. Like, who are you to decide the state of music in the 60s? You know what I mean?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
You weren't even alive.
Yeah, looking back on it from what I've heard. Oh, and one of my notes. Okay, Greg, smartass. One of my notes here. Where is it?
Oh, so prepared.
Yeah, here take your time. Take your time, by the way.
Where's your list of topics, well, by the way? Wish I could go back there and see it come to fruition as an adult. So there you go. So I acknowledge the fact that I did miss out on it. And I just know that what I see from what I'm able to see and hear, that's what I make my decision on.
So your point is that music was ripe for some sort of revolution at that time. People were just fed up with this sugary, sweet, syrupy music.
Yes.
Hmm.
What do you think of that?
Well, I think rock and roll started in the 50s, didn't it?
To some extent.
Yeah. Right, Barbara?
Yeah. You know what I remember as a kid? My dad, in the 60s, he would listen to different parts that seemed more like rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
But he also, every once in a while, would put on the
Kingsmen. I like turtles.
What?
I like turtles. Go on.
You know, like the Kingsmen or, you know, real schmaltzy stuff. Like it was kind of a mix.
The Everly Brothers.
Yeah. But.
Yeah, go on.
Cut that out.
No.
My lack of thought.
This is live
it's
radio.
A lot of, it's a lot of pressure. But you still have schmaltzy stuff now.
Absolutely.
I mean, look at it. Through every decade, you have good stuff and bad stuff.
Opinion.
And as the decades go on, people tend to forget about the schmaltz unless they come out with a late night infomercial and you hang on to the good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So my recollection of the 70s, I do remember a lot of the gross stuff. And I'm jumping to the 70s because I don't remember the 60s.
Okay.
I have a kid who thinks that growing up in the 70s must have been the best thing in the world because she thinks the music from the 70s is the best.
Ding, 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 ding.
But she's not thinking about Disco Duck or, you know,
right.
Muhammad Ali, Float Like a Butterfly and all that crap. Mm, she's thinking of, you know, more folksy, rocky type stuff.
Right. The stuff that lasted.
Right. She thinks of the Kinks when she thinks of the 60s.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, so.
Who wouldn't?
A lot of people wouldn't.
I know.
Because you watch these late night infomercials and it's like.
No. But I mean, there's also, they have the same infomercial for the 60s for like the rock and roll 60s. And I am well aware that rock and roll typically is viewed as coming from the 50s and all that. But my point is. Rock and roll was there, but the shift from the 50s type rock and roll and the 60s type rock, early 60s type rock and roll, which then developed into the 70s rock and roll, you know, I think this schmaltziness pushed that. Because if you listen to this rock and roll from the early 70s and compare it to the early 60s, it's completely different.
Well, they were going through a transition between it was all,
and it's always transitioning.
It was an evolution between, correct, you know, from hard rock or not hard rock, but like more rock and roll beat.
Jangle rock, guitar rock, Buddy Holly,
right?
Who's awesome, by the way.
But in the 60s, you still had a lot of people listening to music who were born in the
40s.
I was going to go back to like the 1910s.
Well,
no,
yeah,
they would only be 70 or you know, 60-year-olds or 50-year-olds were still listening to music.
But they weren't listening to rock and roll.
They weren't listening to rock. I think the hang-on was the schmaltzy stuff. Did you ever hear anything called the Ray Conniff of singers?
Yes.
Okay. My grandparents
Lawrence.
Used to listen to them. No, it's like
Lawrence,
what the
Lawrence
Ray Conniff
of
singers used to do was...
And one, then the two.
The Ray Conniff of singers used to take pop songs and sing them like a Lawrence Welk group would sing.
Right.
Like,
right.
So they would take songs like, that say were popular, like Up, Up and Away, or that was sung by the Fifth Dimension, and they do their all like schmaltzy, chorale-y version of it. And that's what my grandparents listened to.
So it was like live music.
It was awful.
Right, right. Yeah.
Awful.
Yeah, but don't forget, too, that it's not just that generation that liked that schmaltzy stuff, but that was also the whole that generation, too, that got turned on by the whole big band scene.
Yep.
You know?
Which awesome.
Which went well into the 50s.
Yeah.
Right.
When bebop was like a reaction to that, you know, to make it faster and more accessible.
Yep.
I think it's music is so complicated and it's hard to generalize stuff like that.
Although, look at a person listening to music in the 60s.
How old is he?
Any age. Let's say he's a teenager.
Okay.
Okay. He's listening to music in the 60s. He's listening to the Beatles or the Beach Boys or the, you know, the Kinks or whatever.
Back up
20 years to the 40s. Is he listening to that music?
Well, he's just being born.
Well, if he was a teenager. No, I'm just saying, I'm not saying is he in the 1940s. I'm saying as a teenager in the 1960s, is he going to listen to music from the 1940s?
Probably depends on the kid.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and by default, though, it might be, I mean, obviously that's what his parents listen to.
But now, I mean, I guess my point is that music has, it changed a lot between the 60s. Like the 60s was a big revolutionary decade.
There you go. Thank you.
Music from the 70s till now, you can still listen to songs from the 70s or even from the late 60s that still sound contemporary.
Absolutely.
They're still modern. Yes. Where in the 1960s, if you went back 10 years, 20 years, the music sounded different.
Every 10 years, it was like a very distinct shift.
Right.
Right. And I think that's part of I was thinking. That's my point is that's when they were like, all right, enough of this. Like, we have to come up with something that's different because they all had the same bass. Like, there was always, you see the old footage and there's like a 5 or 6 piece band that just like, and then there's someone singing out front. And then they got the guitar and all that stuff. And the 50s came and it was still a 4 or 5 piece band and the guitar, just the drums got a little faster. But then the 60s and then you can go to, when did the electric guitar come out? I mean, that was a huge thing, too.
50s?
Probably the 50s, yeah.
Before that, actually?
Yeah. But when it became widely accepted,
Who really made it popular? Chuck Berry? Or
Marty McFly.
Popularity, yeah.
I thought it was Marty McFly at the end of the sea dance.
Johnny B. Goode.
I mean, it was originally 80s. Electrified just so it could be heard in a big band. And it was electrified, but it wasn't distorted. I think that's a big difference.
Ah.
You know what I mean?
So basically they slapped a what is the word?
The whammy?
No, just like microphone on it or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that it could be heard.
And then they started filtering it through boards and all that stuff or putting the boards right on the guitar and whatnot.
But I think the big difference is maybe talking about popular music changing.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because people are writing jazz still. Like, I mean,
right.
Yeah, people are still writing classical music.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
But maybe it seems more like the popular music changes. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I do.
You know, when I'm home alone sometimes and I just want a little background noise, I put on Comcast Channel 537, I think it is. It's the blues. I love that station. It's like my Sunday morning putzing around the house station. And you can listen to that. And you know how they show the facts on the screen?
Like, right.
You know, the artist, when it was made and all that and little tidbits.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing how blues from like 1930s sound very much like blues that are contemporary, except for the sound quality.
Or
it's amazing.
Even sound like things like the Rolling Stones and Led Zeppelin.
Or you can see, like, I used to always wonder before, I mean, I'm not a music expert by any means, but, you know, people say, well, Eric Clapton's a blues guitarist or this or that. And I used to say, what? But then when you really listen to the blues, you're like, wow. I mean, that really was an influence on that type of style of rock and roll.
And I'm not a huge, I'm not really a fan of the blues. I'm like, I can take it or leave it, most likely leave it, but. There's some good stuff, but what I find interesting is the fact that the blues basically came from, you know, African-American roots, more influenced British artists than it did American artists. Like, I find that very interesting. Like you said, Eric Clapton, Rolling Stones, Led Zeppelin, even like bits of Joe Strummer and The Clash. Like, they have a song called, what is it? I'll think of it. Damn it. But it's this old blues song. It's Wrong and Boyo.
So you're saying American, African-American artists influenced British artists. Is that what you're saying?
Blues, the the African-American blues artists from in the early 20th century had a bigger influence on British artists than of Americans. The 60s, 70s, and 80s than the influence they had on American artists, which I find that I just, you know, and I didn't realize this until like the last 10 years when you have a greater catalog and you read up on stuff and piece stuff together. You know what I mean? It's just, it was interesting.
Well, don't forget Elvis Presley though.
Oh, hold on. Right. Junko Partner. That's a song. It's on Sandinista. The Clash do a song called Junko Partner. And I heard it and it's like this like song from like the 1920s. And it's this African American blues tune. Crazy. But all right, go on. Elvis.
Yeah.
Elvis Presley.
He was influenced by
the blues.
Yeah, he's one.
Do you think he's
I'm not saying nobody in America was. I think Elvis and John Wayne, I was going to say, Frank Sinatra are both the two of the most overrated artists in American music history. There, I said it.
All right, you said it. I think that Elvis is. He was a pioneer in a way, and all that stuff with the way he was dancing and everything. Frank Sinatra, though, Frank Sinatra had a voice and a half. He really could croon and relate to an audience.
I saw a sketch.
I mean, he didn't write his own songs. He wasn't a musician. He was a performer. That's what he was. Not an artist, a performer.
Fair enough.
As
I think Buddy Holly out kicks ass on Frank Sinatra every day of the week.
Buddy Holly was an artist. There's a difference between a performer and an artist. Okay. An artist slash performer is like great.
Taylor Swift, as opposed to an American Idol person who everyone writes her songs.
True.
But I saw Phil Hartman do an impression of Frank Sinatra on SNL. And I thought he was just as good.
I saw
Skinhead O'Connor. What do you say?
I think I saw Phil Hartman do Ed McMahon better than Ed McMahon did Ed McMahon
there
in
you
a
go.
Skit. Yeah.
He was an artist.
He was an artist and a performer. That was a tragic thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
The day he died, I was very blue.
He put on Music Channel 537 and cleaned the kitchen floor.
What a sad thing.
It was. But I sense every time I say something about Taylor Swift, you have this grimace on your face. You're not a fan.
Am I a fan of Taylor
Explain
Swift?
Yourself.
Let me count the ways. Does she write her own songs?
Yes.
Check. Does she perform them? Check. Is she very well, does she have a lot of poise for a teenage girl? Check. And I give her all that credit. Do I like her style of music? No check.
That's fine.
I'm giving her kudos for being...
Because But the look of disdain on your face, every time I mention her name, you're always like... Oh, you know what I mean? I don't really like her style of music either. But I don't typically listen to it. But when I see it, like on when
There's
I saw
a poster of her in his room,
three. But when I always heard her name, I had no idea what she was like, and then I finally saw her on Saturday Night Live one night, and I was well impressed by her. And I'm like, that's great. I don't have any of her CDs. I don't listen to her music regularly. But in this fucked up age of bullshit American Idol being shoved down people's throats, I prefer someone like that to have success than Ruben Studdard or other fucking
I think you're giving American Idol too much credit. I don't think American Idol really influences anything.
Oh, no, you don't? What were you, been living under a rock? Carrie Underwood?
Carrie Underwood, yes.
Who's that other douche? Daughtry?
But Daughtry didn't win.
It doesn't matter. He was on it.
But it doesn't.
He was a product
but the thing
of
is,
it.
Well, here's the thing: is
Clay Aiken that other dude that dresses up like a goth queer?
Is there something wrong with people using American Idol as a means to get visibility? Yet Chris Daughtry's writing his own songs. He's not some jerk who is like the Spice Girls that was manufactured and people are giving them their music. He is writing his own songs.
Fair enough.
But he got the opportunity by getting the visibility through American Idol.
Understood.
So and I don't think American Idol's
bad. I don't blame
Idol's
these people. I don't blame the artists for taking advantage of it. I blame American Idol itself because the whole thing is a giant, it's just a giant marketing and money-making system. Absolutely. What the last time the most obvious and flagrant abuse was that one time that guy with, I don't know if this, it might be Daughtry, I have no freaking clue, but like 20 seconds after the final American Idol episode ended, this guy hadn't even won yet. And this douche was doing a Ford commercial during a football game or something, or the Super Bowl, some game on Fox, and he was doing a jingle for Ford.
They all do jingles for Ford. It's part of the deal they have with their sponsors while they're recording the show.
Thank you very much. And that explains my beef with it right
that's
there.
That's corporate America. And that you
and
have
that's
a,
why right. music sucks right
but
now.
It doesn't mean that you should condemn Chris Daughtry because he used it as a vehicle. He's writing his own songs.
I don't know.
It's funny because some of the artists who won, Carrie Underwood goes places. What's her face? Kelly Clarkson, the first one, goes places.
But it's all crap music.
Carrie Underwood's not my style because you don't like country, right?
No.
Okay. I'm not a big Carrie Underwood fan. Kelly Clarkson had a few good tunes.
Let's go back then and let's say this. How many people that were on that show that were rock and roll stars? Rock and roll type style singers have won? Zero. It's always the same type of just simply
well, that's
marketable.
America's voting.
Absolute. Yeah, because America's a bunch of fucking
all
morons.
Right, but that's the thing. But all right, so you can say, well, a person who is a rock and roller or whatever is not going to get the vote of America because it's this big goofball country that
exactly.
likes country western or whatever. Yeah. But is it make it wrong that an artist tries out and gets exposure through the show?
No, but I just don't like the show for what it is.
Okay, but it doesn't mean that Chris Daughtry is less of an artist than Taylor Swift just because he chose that route.
I don't know. I have an argument with that.
He was like a hardware store guy or something like that. And
fair enough.
You know, if you had a good voice and you tried out for American Idol, we'd be behind you, Ed.
There's two of you. Or maybe one. No, I mean, I fairly get, I mean, I understand your point. I just think, right, this was their avenue
mm-hmm.
to do it. But I guess if it wasn't there, yes, maybe some of these people. But I mean, who's more successful generally, Taylor Swift or Daughtry?
Well, here's the thing too, is don't
no,
you
no, no.
think
hold on. That was a binary question.
All right. Who do I think is more successful in terms of what?
Success.
Success meaning money or success meaning?
Popularity. I think money is secondary.
Taylor Swift is a bigger sensation.
There you go.
Okay. So does that mean she's a better artist or does that mean she's more popular?
You just don't like Taylor Swift.
No, I'm playing devil's advocate.
Because she's a beautiful blonde woman.
And she's my daughter's age. No,
so
just kidding.
You hate
no,
all teenagers.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But I'm just saying, does the fact that he did go through that avenue make him any less of a
I think so.
Or the fact that she's more popular make her a better artist? No.
I disagree because I think the fact that because she did it on her own and is more successful and he had the help of corporate marketing and he's less successful, then I would say overall the net effect is that she's more talented
than
he is.
But you know how many, if you ever go to like different small venues around Boston or Cambridge and listen to music, do you know how much seriously talented people out there who are not discovered yet?
Yeah, I understand.
And
that.
How much it has to do with serendipity, whether you are discovered or not. And being successful has nothing to do with your artistic abilities. Honestly, yes, if you go into Cambridge and go to these clubs, so I don't think you can say that some good luck came her way that she got that exposure.
I think Barbara's taking you to school tonight.
I don't, but I do. I'm not going to argue with it anymore because...
You can't, because we've situation. Already hit our 35-minute mark, which all is right. The end of part one. So Barbara won, Ed zero.
Okay.
Well, and I will never be invited back.
Well, at least it was my brilliant topic idea that spawned the whole debate, so...
Can give you that.
I get a half a point, don't I?
But she used some serious logic on you to not defuse really. Your argument.
Not really.
It was pretty impressive.
We'll give it to her. Part two coming up.
Yeah.
See ya.
Let you sulk a bit and then come back.
I'm just going to take a wee.
All right. Ciao.
Cheers.